Presidential staffer Dr. Clement Apak has been reviewing the 45th Ordinary ECOWAS Summit, which ended in Accra yesterday. He told Radio Ghana that the swift decision on how to deal with the deadly Ebola virus is most significant. Dr. Apak also looked at the introduction of the biometric ID card, which will be subjected to security appraisal before a final decision is made. He described the summit as very fruitful and a feather in the cap of ECOWAS Chair President Mahama.
This is particularly significant because our president, His Excellency President John Dramani Mahama, is the current chair of ECOWAS. Of importance, of course, in terms of my own priority, is the commitment made by the sub-regional leaders and also appealing to the world to provide the needed support towards the fight against this deadly Ebola virus. And I think that that is something that must be applauded and highlighted. As you are fully aware, and as most listeners would be aware, it is one of the most deadly viruses that humanity has ever encountered. And so for the member states led by our president to set up a fund with the hope that member states will make contributions as well as other benevolent international organizations towards finding a lasting solution, not only in terms of preventing the spread, but also indeed resolving that issue, I think it is something that should be significantly highlighted. Particular mention has also been made by the generous contribution made by Nigeria, which is pledging $3 million. That money is supposed to go to support the specific countries in the sub-region where the disease has already begun to take a toll. So I think that this is a very significant development that came out of the just-ended summit. Now, you made an allusion to the heads of state approving the economic partnership agreement. Yes, that has been done, but that has been done within the context of the chief negotiator being mandated to work out the technicalities. So in as much as some of the clauses which were very worrisome to the indigenous economic well-being of the sub-regional nations, it is still the case that a few more technicalities have to be ironed out. But make no mistake that the time has come for the EPA to be approved, largely because we stand to benefit, and if we don't, the negative repercussions can also be detrimental to our well-being. So as the debate has gone on, I believe that the case has been made that whilst this may not be the solution to all of our social and economic challenges, by and large, by signing this agreement, we would not be disadvantaged. And indeed, there are components that would allow us to take full advantage of growing our domestic markets and pulling our resources together, not only to increase the value of our produce, but also to increase the value of our exports as we look at growing our domestic industries to add value to our natural resources. So I think that is also a move that the leaders felt was time to make, even as we look at the chief negotiator working on behalf of the sub-region to finalize whatever technicalities may remain for full flight of this agreement, which has been negotiated for over a decade. The other issue you spoke about, of course, was the issue of security, and that was very topical, largely because of the threat of extremism in the sub-region as it pertains to the visual and physical manifestation unleashed, particularly in neighboring countries of Mali and Nigeria. Nigeria, we speak about Boko Haram. The leaders have again committed and pledged their support to work with each other and also to work with external entities, but particularly support Nigeria to be able to deal with this issue. And they have re-pledged their commitment to do whatever it takes to ensure that those 200 young ladies who have been abducted are released unharmed to their families and their loved ones. And I must say that the other issue, which also was important in this deliberation, had to do with the proposal to introduce a biometric citizen's ID card for the citizens in the sub-region. In principle, that was adopted by the leaders, pending security appraisal. And I think that you and I would appreciate why it is very important that whilst this idea of introducing a common ID card for citizens in the sub-region can enhance trade and movement of goods and services and even of our peoples across borders, we must also be cognizant regarding how some miscreants and extremists could take undue advantage of that to move from one country to the next to perpetrate acts of crime and even acts of violence and extremism, as has been testified by the acts of Boko Haram. So I think it was wise for the leaders to adopt the issuance or the move towards the biometric ID card in principle, but then to subject that to security appraisal by member states, based on which final decisions will be made on that front. So by and large, it is quite clear that the summit was very fruitful, and indeed is a feather in the cap of our president and all of those who played roles in ensuring that it was done in an atmosphere of peace and tranquility. And this time around, most Ghanaians would agree that the state put in the necessary arrangements, particularly the police and other security agencies, to reduce and even eliminate any discomfort that such a big gathering would have caused to the ordinary people of their country as they went about their day-to-day activities.
You heard presidential staffer Dr. Clementa Park on the 45th ECOWAS Summit.
An international relations expert, Daniel Condor, has commended ECOWAS heads of state for their timely and proactive engagement to address challenges of the sub-region. Speaking with Radio Ghana, Mr. Condor said as far as security on the continent is concerned, the heads of state cannot compromise the safety of the region by creating a borderless sub-region. He spoke to George Ankara.
I believe it has a lot of prospects in the sense that the general awareness creation has been made so that the security agents would begin now to share intelligence information about the activities of all other terrorist groups, not just Boko Haram, that any kind of terrorism within the sub-region. They'll begin to be on the alert and do a lot of information sharing, and also carry a lot of surveillance along our various borders. So I think indeed the summit has been very good, and not only that, even preceding it have been a lot of talks on how to contain this issue, because it has gone beyond the containment by the handling of Nigeria alone as a country. We have a lot of such similar issues in northern Mali by the Ansu regime.
Mr. Kondong, it is one thing expressing concern about the security tension. It is another thing taking concrete steps to counter the activities of these groups. Do you think that has been addressed?
Not concretely, but in my opinion, I think what has just been done is the beginning. And that, I've said it once in your radio on this program, that we cannot just use force because of the nature of the way Boko Haram has gone about handling their captives. So we cannot use force, otherwise we'll lose the purpose for trying to attack them. That is rescuing those they've captured. And I said dialogue was really needed. Even though we keep saying that we cannot find the leadership, I think within Nigeria, the authorities know there are people behind it, and they can get them to dialogue with and get some of their captives released.
The other concern from our people in the sub-region is that there should be a borderless access for businessmen, yes, and our people to move from one country to the other. That in itself is a very huge problem if you tie in the security knot, because these elements who are into terrorism could use that allowance to enter into any country and organize. How do you think the sub-region would manage this situation such that free movement of goods and persons would be ensured, and yet there will be that security control about the movement of insurgents?
I believe the average intelligence officer has been well trained to be able to detect a person carrying weapons or parts, components of light weapons. And so, borderless does not here mean that there should not be such checks. If you see people with suspicious looks, I mean, for people trained to handle such security, they easily are able to detect them. So, borderless here should not take in for just letting everything loose. I know we have a lot of problems, especially the porosity of our borders. There are unapproved routes that people, for me, one of the best approaches is to exercise more controls in such areas. And that means increasing the numbers of people who should be working at our borders. That's not just Ghana alone, but all other West African countries' borders. There should be more people there to strengthen security at such points.
What is your view about the green light that the leaders should sign onto the EPA agreement?
That's a rather tough area for me. But there have been a lot of talk, debate on this issue. Some saying, I'm pointing to the dangers and how we're virtually selling our trade rights to signatories of the 23 European countries that form the European Union. People have been silent. There's those who have been very vehement in their pronouncement say it's not good for us. I don't really know what has informed the signing of the EPA by the ECOWAS member countries. I don't really know.
Daniel Condor is an international relations expert. The Secretary General of the Ghana Federation of Labour, Abraham Kumsen, says if ECOWAS heads of state are convinced that signing onto the EPA is in the interest of the sub-region, they must implement policies that would help the region reap full benefits from the agreement. Speaking to Radio Ghana, Mr. Kumsin said African heads must from now on ensure that their manufacturing and industrial sectors expand so they can penetrate the European market.
According to one of the negotiators, he said there are three clauses or so that have been expunged.
What are those clauses?
He didn't mention them, but according to him, those clauses were inimical to our progress. According to him, they have dealt with that. And also, he's saying that the agreement could be revised every 5 years. So it means that it is not a perpetual kind of agreement which is going to bind us for infinity. So once there are such causes for interventions, I think that we can try it and see.
Trying it to see. How about if it turns out to be sour?
It is sour because if they say they have a 5 year timeline to try it, let's see. So if it doesn't work well for us, 5 years is not too long. It will come very soon. So let's try it. If it is true that it is not something that is going to operate forever and there are causes that will allow for some reviews, that's okay. Let's try it because I think they have done their due diligence. So if they think that is what is good for us, we should try it and see.
How are African countries or the sub-regional countries ready to expand their manufacturing and industrial sectors so that they can also penetrate the European market?
It is a challenge to us that we should also try to be creative and try to address these challenges that also undermine the industry in Africa. Because there is no way that Africa can compete in terms of manufacturing and export. We can't because of the very porous economy or the environment that we operate in. So it is for these heads of state that have met to take such decision to ensure that they do things that will also facilitate productive activities in our sub-sectors. If they are taking that decision, they shouldn't go back to go and sleep. They should make sure that they do things, they implement policies that will help the growth of the industries.
Abraham Kumsin is the Secretary General of the Ghana Federation of Labour.